We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We're always happy to hear from you and to know of God's dealings in your hearts. The book we're offering free this month is entitled The Disciplines of Life by V. Redman. It is a blessed little book. I've read it through three times. And looking at it again before I sat down to make the broadcast, I said, I'll read it through again. It is yours free and postpaid if you'll write us. It's a book of about 20 chapters dealing with the disciplines of life. Discipleship, daring, delay, defamation, difficulty, disease, doubt, duty, all these. But what he does, he takes one of these different subjects and takes a character of the Bible and shows how that discipline was worked in their heart by the Lord of glory. You'll want this little book to pursue as a daily devotion. It's yours free and postpaid if you'll write us. Along with the series of messages that we start today upon the Word of God and sin. You'll write for them, will you? We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You ask for your book by name, The Disciplines of Life. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. As I said, we began a series of messages today on the subject, the Word of God and sin, or what the Word of God teaches about sin. We propose by the grace of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit to show from the Word of God what the Scriptures teach about sin, and that is that it is basically rebellion against God, that it is contrary to the very nature of God, that it separates from God, that it calls down the wrath of God upon sinful man and necessitates the bloodshedding of God Himself in the person of His Son if sin is ever to be put away from the holy eyes of the holy God with whom we have to do. Only the man who is a fool will close his eyes to the fact that the taproot, the basis for our rebellious society, our broken homes, our disobedient children, our God-hating parents, our craze for lust and sex, liquor and dope, laziness and ungodliness, the taproot of it all is sin. Yes? Sin is man's greatest problem. Dear friend, if you will face the fact of sin, confess it, repent of it, turn from it, and turn in faith to God's substitute for sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will solve every problem that besets us on every hand today. You will solve every problem in your life. Let us face it fairly and squarely, dear friend, as you're listening to me there today. The taproot of all the trouble in our schools is sin, rebellion against God. The taproot of all the trouble in our government is sin, rebellion against God and the authority of His Word. All of the ills in our sick society is traced to the taproot of sin. Yes, sin, which is rebellion against God and the authority of His Word. The taproot of all neurotic problems today that is filling our jails and hospitals and mental institutions to capacity and overflowing is sin, rebellion against God and the authority of His Word. And unless we are willing to forsake this, there's no remedy for the situation we find ourselves to be in. Our government and our rulers and those in the places of authority, the judges upon the bench, our judicial system, our monetary system, the rebellion that's manifested among the young people, the whole morality, the immorality, the amorality of our society today. Let's face it, if we do not face it, all of this is because of sin. and sin is the taproot of it all, that is, rebellion against God and His authority, then there's no way it's going to continue to get worse, from bad to worse, and if it's good English, from worse to worser. Because there's no hope for man outside of the acknowledgement that sin is the taproot of it all. For when a man will acknowledge his problem, then something can be done about it. And until we are willing to face that sin is the taproot of what's wrong today in our own lives, in our homes, and in our society, and especially in our government, then there will never be any turning unto God in true repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen as we go into our subject, will you? The Word of God declares in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Therefore, at the seat of your affections, your desires, your motives, is the taproot of sin, which is rebellion against God and His authority. This means that from within your desperately wicked self comes the cry, listen to me now, I said this means that from within your desperately wicked self comes the cry, I am going to have the right to my life, to do as I please, when I please, as I please, what I please, and nobody, I mean nobody, God or man, church or home, government or courts, will tell me what to do. And this is what we find everywhere today. Man is going to do his own thing come hell or high water. And the taproot of it all is sin. So you see, my friend, in the essence of sin is the right to myself and let God keep His hands off. I don't need it. This, according to God's Word, is the taproot of our society today, rebellion against God and the authority of God's Word. Again, the Word of God declares in Romans 8:7 that the carnal or fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is the essence of sin. The whole mind, the whole heart, the whole will of man is set in active rebellion against God. That being so, then the Word of God expresses this enmity and acts of hostility as walking contrary to God, Leviticus 26:21, as rebelling against God, Isaiah 1 and 2, as rising up against God as an enemy, Micah 2:8, as striving and contending with God, Isaiah 45:9, and as despising God, according to Numbers 11:20. Also, being in this state of active rebellion against God, it makes men haters of God, Romans 1:30, resistors of God, Acts 7:51, fighters against God, Acts 5:39, even blasphemers of God, and in short, atheists who say there is no God, according to Psalms 14:1. Are you listening? It's not until we face this that we are ever going to have any peace and quietness in our own hearts before God. We will never have peace in our homes, in our society, until we face what is the matter with us. Where are we going? How are we getting there? We're going there very fast, my friend, and it's because of sin. And there waits nothing but judgment. There waits nothing but chaos. There waits nothing but hell, unless there is a turn to God in repentance, a confession of sin, a turning unto God from sin, and a looking by faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Again, the Word of God declares in 1 John 3:9, that sin is the transgression of the law. Whose law? God's law. You see, this holy law of God contained in the Ten Commandments, the 10 words from Sinai, shows us the mind of that holy and gracious being who is the God of this universe, the creator of every creature, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who, my dear friend, the only one who hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, and no man can see, to whom be honor and power and glory everlasting, for He is God. You see, this holy law of God commands us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our strength and with all our soul and with all our mind, and to love our neighbors even as ourselves. This shows us then that the holy law of God is something not only to keep outwardly, but to love inwardly. For our holy God requires truth in the inward parts. This being so, then the least deviation from this holy law of God in thought, word, and deed is in the sight of God, according to James 2:10, a breaking of the whole law of God. Watch it now. And brings us on a collision course with a sin-hating, sin-abhorring, sin-punishing God, whom we must meet either in mercy or in judgment. This brings us then to see the desperately wicked nature of sin, that is contrary to the holy nature of God. For holiness is the very nature of our living God. Yes, dear friend, He is holy, without spot or blemish or any such thing. He is so holy that He cannot sin Himself, nor is He the cause or author of sin in anyone else. He does not command sin to be committed, for to do so would be contrary to His holy nature and His holy will. He cannot and does not approve of any man's sin when it is committed, but He hates it with a perfect hatred. You see, the holy God of the Bible is without iniquity, and of pure eyes to the behold or approve iniquity or sin, according to Habakkuk 1:13. On the contrary, as God is holy, altogether holy, and always holy, so sin is sinful, altogether sinful, and always sinful, according to Genesis 6:5. You see, the Word of God declares in Romans 7:18 that in my sinful corrupt nature there dwelleth no good thing. As in God there is no evil, so in sin there is no good. God is the chiefest of goods, and sin is the chiefest of evils. As no good can be compared with God for goodness, so no evil can be compared with sin for evil. Yes, sin is against the very nature of God, His holiness. Therefore, He hates it. Therefore, He must punish it. Therefore, He must put it out of His sight forever. Why? Because He's the holy God. And I'll go further. Apart from the blessed sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, God cannot deal with sinful man except to cast him out of His presence forever in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Oh, my friend, my dear friend, listen to me today. God's word does not deal with sin lightly. Plainly upon its pages it tells us of the consequences of sin, its result, its effect, and its end. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin, that is, the wages that sin pays, is eternal death, separation from a holy God. Romans 5:12 tells us that by one sin, one man's sin, is disobedience and pride, that death, physical death, passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 59:1 and 2 tells us that sin has separated us from this holy God and has made fellowship with Him impossible apart from the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen as we go further. For one sin, sinners have been cut off from God. Oh, listen to me. And may God by His Spirit give you a hatred for sin, an alarm in your soul about sin, a cry unto God against sin, and a turning to God from sin in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Oh, that you would cry after Him to have mercy upon you in Christ, so that you would not die in the death of sin, and go out to meet God without hope and without mercy. Listen to me now. For one sin, the sin of disobedience, Adam threw the whole human race into chaos and confusion, according to Genesis 3. And Adam's sin fell upon us. And Adam's curse fell upon us. For one sin, sodomy, Ham brought the curse of God down upon his posterity forever, according to Genesis 10. For one sin, the sin of unbelief, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt, according to Genesis 19. For one sin, the sin of unbelief, nearly 2 million Israelites perished in the wilderness, never to enter the promised land, according to Numbers 14. For one sin, the sin of rebellion, Korah and his crowd were swallowed up by the opened earth and went down quickly into hell, according to Numbers 10. For one sin, anger, Moses was kept out of the promised land, according to Numbers 20. For one sin, covetousness that led to stealing, Achan and all his family was stoned, according to Joshua 7. For one sin, that is rebellion, King Saul was rejected, and the Lord left him forever, according to 1 Samuel 15. For one sin, covetousness that led to lying, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was stricken with leprosy, according to 1 Kings 5. For one sin, betraying the Son of God, Judas was shut out from heaven forever, according to John 13. For one sin, covetousness that led to lying to the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira were stricken dead by the power of God, according to Acts 5. On and on the scriptures go to tell us that God does not deal lightly with sin. He will and does smite sin wherever he finds it, even when he found it upon his Son upon the cross. God must, and he did, pour out wave after wave of his wrath upon him, for Christ had undertaken to bear the sins of his people. Then should you and I think lightly of sin? With the sword of God's justice hanging over our heads, should we make a mock of sin? Should we go around happy-go-lucky and full of happiness and making mirth when God's judgment hangs upon our heads if we are not in Christ? No, my friend. It is only the patience and long-suffering of God that has kept him from already casting you into hell. Romans 2:4 asks the question, despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Yes, it has only been the goodness of God that you are not already destroyed for the very same sins that others have been destroyed for. But be sure your sins will find you out. Though the wheels of God's justice grind slow, they do grind. And someday, if the goodness and kindness of God does not lead you to repentance, then surely God will say, tonight your soul shall be required of you. Come and give an account of your sins. Then how will you stand there, my friend? Remember, every man stands before God for his own sins to be judged on the basis of your own sins. There will be no excuses then, no blaming others then, no place to hide then. For Revelation 20 and 11 reads concerning that awful day of judgment, that a great white throne was set, and Christ will sit upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven will flee away, and then you will find no place to hide. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And my friend, you will be there. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You will be there to be judged according to your works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This then is the consequences and final end of all sin. The second death, the lake of fire, separation from God forever. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, let me persuade you to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, dear friend, God in his everlasting love has made it possible that he can be just in justifying you because he has dealt with sin in the person of his Son upon the cross. In his mercy he has provided a substitute for poor sinners in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in our nature, born of a woman, made in the likeness of sinful man, that he might take his perfect sinless body and nail it to the cross, so that he might die beneath the sins of his people and bear the eternal wrath of God against his people's sins. This is the good news of the gospel, that you, the sinner, may have eternal life in Christ. He shed his precious blood so that your sins might be washed away and you would be able to stand before God clothed in his righteousness and cleansed from all your sins. Listen, the conditions of such a gracious salvation is laid down in God's precious word. They are repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God's Son, who suffered and bled and died upon the cross to make salvation possible, has made it whereby God can be just in justifying those that come to him. In repentance, you will take God's side against yourself. You will acknowledge that you are guilty of breaking God's holy law. You will acknowledge God's justice in sending you to hell. You will confess that you are wrong and God is right. You will change your mind about sin. You will hate it, abhor it, turn from it, and resolve never to go back to it again. And in faith, my dear friend, in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, you will, as a lost, helpless soul, cast yourself upon him to save you, deliver you, keep you, and provide for you all the days of your life. You will trust him, believe in his word is true, and that in him you have a perfect and complete salvation, because the Lord Jesus Christ has already finished the work of your eternal salvation, and there remains no more to be done. That's God's message for our hearts today. I pray that you have listened, that the Holy Spirit has taken his word home to your hearts. You want a copy of this message? Write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.